Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. We are so excited about the message that the Lord has for us on today. Hallelujah. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you because I know you could be doing a thousand things on Thursdays, like sitting back and watching TV. And for some of you that may be in the state of Texas, such as myself, we have a little storm going on, and when the rain is falling and it brings about that peace, you just want to relax. So I thank you for joining us. I believe that you're not here by accident, but I believe that it has been predestined and preordained for you to be tuning in on tonight. So this message, I would say, is just for you. So again, I say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. Well, we're going to be getting into the message on tonight, and I hope that everyone can hear me well. I'm not sure with the storm that's going on if it's affecting reception. So if for any reason on tonight you don't get the quality of the call, first of all, I want to apologize up front because we always try to operate in the spirit of excellence, especially when we're doing things for the kingdom. You don't want to just half step and half do things that you're doing for God. You want to operate in the spirit of excellence. Why? Because God is a spirit of excellence. So if we are getting a bad connection due to the weather, again, I'm going to ask that you could either dial one on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that maybe I'm having some challenges. For those of you that may know me personally and you're listening in, if there is a poor connection, please feel free to let me know if you start trying. Please don't try to call me while I'm in the studio because my phone will not connect. Amen. So again, let's just get into the message on tonight. I'm so super excited that God has chosen me to deliver this word. He didn't choose me because I'm a theologian. He didn't choose me because I've mastered the word of God. But he chose me, I believe, because I've been a willing vessel. I have simply said yes. And it is my intent and my desire to live holy and acceptable unto God. And am I perfect? By no means am I perfect. Do I strive daily? I do. You know, when Paul talked about there was a song about wretched, you know, who was saved this wretched person I am, and I'm wretched. You know what I'm saying? It's only by God's amazing grace that I am here, that I'm not somewhere strung out or somewhere turned out or somewhere, where the enemy has taken over my mind and I can't even give God the glory because I'm not even in a conscious state of mind. So I just thank God, you know, that he has kept me, and it's surely been him and not me myself, because again, I'm nothing without him, but I'm everything with him. So we're going to get into the message on tonight. If you got the flyer on tonight, then you probably have a sense of what the message is about. And when I was preparing, I don't do a lot of preparing. When I say preparing, what I'm saying is that I'm in my corner. And you're going to learn about the corner. But I'm in my corner, and I just go into my corner, and I get into the presence of the Lord so that he could download into me. Because whatever he's going to have me speak on tonight, you know, because I try to eliminate me. I try to come out of self, and I try to die totally to self, that the Spirit of the Lord will rise up and that he will speak. And so when I say that in my quiet time or I was preparing, my preparation is just being still before the Lord and let him speak to me and let him guide me and direct me on where he would have me to go. Because after all, it's not my word. You know, it's his word. It's not my message. It's his message. I'm just the deliverer. And so I want you tonight to just be caught up in the message, not the messenger. I don't want you to think about the messenger. I don't want you to think about, you know, anything you might know personally about the messenger. Maybe you might think the messenger got a bad attitude. You might think the messenger is ugly. You might think the messenger is cute. You might think the messenger is mean. Whatever those thoughts are, I want you to just drop those thoughts. This is not about the messenger. This is strictly about the message of God. Amen. Receive it in such. If you have an ear to hear, hear what thus said the Lord. And tonight our message is fighting the good fight of faith back to your corner. I'm going to tell you to look at your virtual neighbor and say, back to your corner. And look at your next neighbor and say, back to your corner. So let's get to the word. If you've been following me any amount of time, Coach D is going to take you to the word, and I'm going to lay the foundation with what? The word of God. Again, it's his message, not mine. So let's see. Let's lay it with his word. The word, a piece of God's mind. The Bible, I believe, is a piece of God's mind. God gave us, he gave us a piece of his mind in his word. You know, the old saying when we used to say, especially back in the day, you know, we used to, you know, see the women put their hands on their hips and say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, right? What did they mean by that? They were going to tell you something. They were going to tell you how they were feeling about something. Well, God gave us a piece of his mind from Genesis to Revelation. He gave us a piece of his mind. So how can we not know the mind of God? How can this mind that was in Christ Jesus not also be in us? Why? Because he's given us a piece of his mind. And it's in his word. So, again, we're going to take it to the word. And I'm going to have you, if you want to turn with me, so that you can follow along. Don't just trust what I say. You know, it's good. You know, yes, we are men and women of God that speak God's word. But it's always good for you to study and show thyself approved. You're not me, but show yourself approved by studying the word of God so God can give you revelation, knowledge, and wisdom in his word. not just a person who's, you know, I'm studying for myself and, you know, for that, you know, seeking God for the wisdom and the knowledge. So you got to study for yourself to make sure, because if you don't, they could tell you anything. You know, people could tell you anything. I may not be studying. I could give you the word, and it may be the wrong word or the wrong revelation of the word. So you need to study for yourself. But what we're going to do, if you don't mind, fellas, just hang in there with me, because even though we're going to be talking about Sarah tonight, believe me, it's a message in here for you too. It is a message in here for you too. But I'm going to be talking about Sarah tonight. I'm going to use that as a foundation for where we're going to go. And but I want to use her as an example. There are so many people in the Bible that I could have used. I could have used Jonah. I could have used, you know, I could have used Jeremiah. I could have used Elijah. I could have used Martha and Mary. I could have used Peter. There's so many people that wrestled with their faith in the Bible. And so I could have used so many, but I'm going to use Sarah. Why? Because I could connect with Sarah. Sarah's story is very similar to mine, and I'm going to be sharing that on tonight. But I'm going to be talking about Sarah. So I'm going to be in two different portions of Genesis. There's a couple of verses I want to read from Genesis 17, and then there's a couple of verses that I want to read from Genesis 18. Now, I want you to bear with me, because normally when we get into the word and reading of the word, this is where I lose people. People either sign off, it gets boring, or something else is more important, like some talk show or some reality show, or maybe you trying to cook something and you figure this is the time to do it. But, honey, just be still. I just want you to be – I want you to go to your corner. Go to your corner and just listen to as I read the word, and then once I lay the foundation, then we're going to build off this foundation. I guarantee you that if you stay here with me, that it will bring a revelation word to you. You will see what it is that God is saying to you. Amen. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 15, and then we're going to skip over, if you just want to note down, we're going to skip over to Genesis 18. So I'm going to do Genesis 17, verses 15 through 21, and then I'm going to skip over to Genesis 18, and I'm going to do verses 9 through, let's see, I'm going to do verses 9 through 15. So let's start with Genesis 17, and again, we're laying the foundation. We're going somewhere with this. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. She'll be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become, and she'll become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Let's skip over to Genesis 18, starting with verse 9. They said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child? Now that I am old, anything too hard for the Lord? At this appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to be able to deliver this message. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would take complete control over my thoughts, over my speech, over my mind, over everything, Father God, that I will completely die to self, that your spirit will rise up on the inside, Father, and push forth this rhema word for your people, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So we just came out of Genesis 17 and 18, and we were talking about the story of Sarah. So sometimes, you know what, we have a thing called TQAC, and it says, you know, it's questions lead to thinking leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and then answers lead to decisions, you know, so you can't make decisions if you don't ask the right questions. And when you ask questions, they'll lead to the answer, so you'll be able to get the knowledge that you need to be able to make quality decisions. Amen. So the reason why I came from Sarah, as I was explaining earlier, because Sarah and Abraham often wrestle with their faith. This is just one part of it, and this is a big part that many people know the story about Sarah being in an old age, and she was barren. She couldn't have children. And so her when God told them that she was gonna, that he was going to bless her to have a child, they really didn't believe it. You know, they think we old. You know, I'm old. Matter of fact, I'm assuming, I don't know, you know, maybe that just happened in, you know, centuries later. But I know today, if that was told to a woman today who has already gone through menopause and don't even have the equipment, then she might, you know, feel like Sarah did. Lord, I know you tripping. I know you not talking to me. I'm not getting ready to have no children. Amen. So I chose Sarah because she wrestled with her faith. You know, they wrestled with their faith. If you know the story, she gave her handmaiden to her husband because she didn't trust that she was going to have children. So she gave, you know, her handmaiden to her husband so her handmaiden could get pregnant because she thought, okay, well, if I could let him get her pregnant, then maybe I could raise the child. I'm sure that's the way she was thinking. But the handmaiden got beside herself after she had the baby. She was, you know, she thought she was somebody, right? So that, you know, and then we got to think about the times when Abram lied in two situations and told various kings that Sarah was his sister. And then remember the king gave Abraham a bunch of stuff and sent him away because he was like, man, you supposed to get me messed up with God because you lying to me. I'm thinking this is your sister. I'm getting ready to sleep with her and marry her. And all the time, she your wife. And then the wrath of God would have came on me and I wouldn't even know why. So I'm just giving you some key nuggets here so you'll understand where we're going. So this is why I used Sarah as the example here. You know, she went through the wrestling with faith while Abraham was going through his. So they was constantly going through. She had been barren for years. Again, she didn't think she would be able to have no children. Now all of a sudden, God makes them a promise and let them know that she's going to have her children. And it was still hard for her to believe. And so I'm going to just share a little testimony there when I said that my testimony is very much like Sarah's, because those who know me know that I wasn't supposed to have no kids. You know, I wasn't supposed to have no kids. After going through some things, I realized, you know, it came to my attention that I didn't even have some of the equipment to be able to have kids. So I didn't believe I was going to have no kids, but I went through a laparoscopy, and I'm going to be very transparent. I got to share this because it's in the testimony. It's an amazing testimony for those of you that don't already know it. But I went through a laparoscopy, and that's where they go in, you know, and they look on your insides. And in my case, they were going in to look inside my female organs to see what was going on, why I was no longer producing. And so right before I went in for this procedure, I heard God say to me, and he said, I'm going to allow you to get pregnant, not for you. But I'm allow you to get pregnant before the people who know you cannot get pregnant will know that I'm God. He told me that. I went under. They did the procedure. So when I came back out, had God not have gave me this word, and God knows them. He knows his children. Had he not have gave me this word, when I came out, the information that I got from the doctor's report could have caused me to go into a deep, faithless journey. But because I remember what God told me, when the doctors told me what they told me, it didn't faze me. So basically the doctor said, Mrs. Hamilton, you're not going to probably most likely be able to have kids. It's a 1 in a million chance. You don't even have the different things to happen. You know, you don't have an ovary on one side. You don't have a tube on the other side. Now you could go and try to do, infertility. Insurance don't cover that. It's not guaranteed, and you're talking $30,000 to $40,000 out of your pocket to do it, and it's not even guaranteed that it'll work. So when he's telling me all that, I'm just thinking, okay, whatever, God, I know what God already told me. So anyway, in the process, there's a waiting process. Say to your neighbor, waiting process. Because generally, you know, God give us a word and we think it's supposed to manifest right away. And it's not that it can't. And it's not that people haven't had a word from God that was suddenly. But in most cases, and I believe a lot of people can agree with me, is that when God gives us a word, it tarries. Meaning it doesn't happen right then and there. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about it and whatever. We begin to wrestle with our faith. You know, yeah, God told me that, but it ain't happened, so maybe it wasn't God. So I'm no different. God gave me that word, but as time started continuing to go and I didn't see the manifestation of what he promised me, you know, I was kind of, you know, yeah, maybe I believe it. No, maybe I don't believe it. But I was walking around saying, oh, I'm a woman of faith. I trust God. I believe in God. But really deep inside, I was wrestling with my faith because I hadn't seen the manifestation of it, so I did not. No, I did not believe it. So much so that when the time did come and it manifested, I didn't even believe the pregnancy test. When the pregnancy test came back positive, glory to God, I didn't even believe the test. I doubted it. So much so that I'm saying, okay, I got to go get a doctor's appointment. I need to go get blood work. I don't believe this. And still, God continues to bless us even in our unbelief. So just a short testimony. So today, that miracle that wasn't going to happen thing is now almost 20 years old. Amen. Glory to God that God blessed. And he is definitely a miracle child. I had him at 40 years old. And I do have an older son, but it's a 16-year difference. But, yes, so he's the miracle child. It manifested. As you can see, I was a lot like Sarah. And not really trusting and believing God. So setting that foundation, we're going to get into where God wants us to go in tonight. Let's get into some serious stuff here. When we talk about going back to your corner, because it says, you know, fighting a good fight of faith. We understand what fighting a good fight of faith is. But then it says go to your corners. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you mean? I kept hearing corner. What is it that you mean, Lord, corner? And I kept hearing this word corner. And so as I began to think about what came to mind was boxing, fighting, wrestling. And so I said, okay, why is it necessary for fighters to go to their corner? What does that mean? Why do they have to do that? And so I just kind of, let me Google. You know, Google will tell you everything. So I started looking. And so in combat sports, there's what's called a corner man. And the corner man is the man that stands over there. He is not allowed at any given time to come into the ring. He cannot come into the center of the ring. He cannot help out his fighter in the center of the ring. The only time he has permission to instill wisdom, to instill coaching, to instill mentoring is when that fighter comes into the corner. Amen? And the training and assisting the fighter is done at that time. So that's why it's important, if you notice, after each round, that they have to go to their corner. And going to the corner from a natural standpoint, like I said, is a time to get instruction. It's a time to heal. It's a time to mend your wound. It's a time to refresh. It's a time to reflect when you go into that corner. And God began to show me he is the corner man. Jesus is our corner man. When we go out there in life, and life is like a fighting ring, we're out there and we're fighting the good fight of faith. What you mean, Coach D? There's things that's manifesting or not manifesting. There's things that we're having to deal with. There's things that's causing us to lose our hope. There's things that's causing us to be frustrated and agitated and disappointed. You know, there's things that's causing us to be oppressed and depressed. You know, and we're dealing with all this entanglement. We're dealing with all these things, and we're out there and we're fighting. And what God is telling us at times where we're out there, he's telling us, go to your corner. And some of us don't listen, and we'll be out there in the world. Life will beat us up, you know, give us blows. You've seen a fight. I love boxing. That's one of the sports that captures my attention and keeps me. But, you know, you see fighting, and they're fighting, and they're taking these body blows, and, you know, from their opponent. And in our case, that's the world. It's giving us, you know, shooting shots to our body. It's trying to weaken us. The enemy is using situations and circumstances to his whole goal to take away our hope. His whole goal is to take away our faith. Amen? And so that's his goal. So we're out there fighting daily. We're fighting daily. But if we're not listening for that bell, when it rings, see, God rings a bell. And he said, that bell rings. And he said, okay, spend some time with me. Get back over here. Let's talk about it. Let me sit down. Let me give you the plan of action. And most of the time, we are so consumed with what's going on in our lives that we cannot even make it back to the corner to get what we need in order to fight this fight. And it's amazing because this evening I was talking to my youngest son, and I was asking him, what do you feel? And it wasn't a judgment or anything. I was asking the question, what do you feel is your biggest hindrance when it comes to spending time with God? Why do you feel like you don't spend the time that you're supposed to spend with God? And he said what many of us would say. He said, you know, you work all day, and when you come home, you're tired. And when I'm tired, I come home, all I want to do is just chill. And I thought, you know, I get it, because there's times when I come home, I done went out there, I done worked, I done did everything, and I come home, and times where I know I should come home and get into his presence, times when I know I should come home and I should read and study, times when I know I should come home and worship and come before the Lord so that he could replenish me, I'll come home and I might just lay down and go to sleep. I'll come home and I might put on a movie. I'll do everything else. I'll come home and cook. I could come home and watch a movie. I could come home and run my mouth on the phone with somebody. But yet and still, we will say that we're too tired to come home and spend time with God. And God is telling us on tonight that he wants us to go to our corner. Go to your corner. Go to your corner and get replenished. Because, see, it's in that corner that God downloads his mind into us. It's in that corner that he begins to give us dreams and visions and ideas. It's in that corner that he encourages us and he lifts us up and he revives us. Amen? He revives us. Some of us have been beaten so bad out there in that world that we just staggering. We barely could keep our balance. We, you know, based on decisions that we made, you know, we done made some decisions out there fighting in the world that has caused many of us to be dealing with sickness and disease and disorder in our body. Amen. It's still, you know, sickness is not of God. We know that. But we also know that a lot of us have done things that caused us to be dealing with diabetes. A lot of us have done things that cause us to be dealing with obesity. A lot of us have done things that cause us to be dealing with high blood pressure. And that list could go on of things that, you know, that many people are dealing with in their bodies. And it's all part of the fight. We are in war. We are in spiritual warfare. So daily we are in the ring. And if you don't take time to get into your corner, to get instruction, to get technique. How many know it's important to have technique when you're in the ring? Because if you don't have the proper technique, if you're not in good shape, if you're not eating properly and getting your proper rest and proper exercise, I'm talking about in the natural, same in the spiritual, guess what? You're going to get beat down when you get in the ring. We done seen some old boxers who have retired. We done seen boxers who have retired, and they were great at the peak of their career. You know, the Muhammad Ali's and the Mike Tyson's and the George Foreman's and the, all these people, you know, Frazier, all these people, they were number one at the peak of their season. But some of them retired and they went back, you know, went to living life, and they got fat and out of shape. And then some of them had the audacity to come back to the ring. And I'm sure as I'm speaking this, some of you can see in your mental, you can see some of those fighters who came back. And they would have did better to stay retired while their numbers were up. They would have been better to stay retired while they retired as winners. But some of them come back. And after two rounds in that ring, they out of breath. They barely making it through. And they're up there fighting somebody who's younger, somebody who's in better shape, somebody who has practiced their techniques. They've been in their corner. They've been getting instruction from their corner man. And now they're out there and they're doing it. The other person hasn't. And that's the way we be doing in life. We go out there and we're fighting and we haven't taken time to get with our corner man because he's the expert. He's the expert. He's the one that's going to give us instruction. He's the one that's going to tell us how many push-ups I need to be doing, how many sit-ups I need to be doing, what kind of food do I need to be eating. Can I sit up and eat candy and mashed potatoes and fried chicken and pizza in order to achieve greatness? He's going to be the one to tell us. He's going to be the one to tell us how much time do I need or how much time can I spend doing what I want to do. Because, you know, how much time can I spend letting my flesh be my flesh and do what my flesh want to do? Because if I'm doing that, then I'm not going to be able to achieve what I'm trying to achieve. Because success requires discipline. And if I'm not disciplined and I'm just doing what I need to do, then I'm not going to be able to achieve. I'm not going to be able to succeed in what I'm trying to succeed in. And that's whether no matter what that is in life, we have to be able to be disciplined. We got to be able to dictate our flesh and not allow our flesh to dictate us. And I'm going to go some places with this. We know what we're talking about. Don't think for one minute. When our flesh is doing what our flesh want to do, and especially when it's contradictory to what the Word of God tells us to do, we're undisciplined. And when you show me a person that's undisciplined, I'm going to show you somebody that's disobedient. I'm going to say that again. Show me a person that's undisciplined, and I'm going to show you somebody that's disobedient. Because you cannot be obedient and be undisciplined. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to be disciplined because when God tells you, or the corner man, Jesus, tells you to go to your corner, and you don't go, guess what? It ain't just that you fixing to throw in the fight. It's not that you just fixing to get whooped. It's not that you fixing to get technically knocked out or get knocked out. You're being disobedient. So because of your disobedience, the evidence of your disobedience is you getting out there in that ring and getting whooped. The evidence of your disobedience is you getting in the ring and not having technique. The evidence of your disobedience is the result around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and however, if you even make it that far. The evidence of our disobedience in this life from a spiritual standpoint is the fruit of our spirit. If I'm not operating in the fruits of the spirit, then most likely I'm probably undisciplined and in disobedience. That's the evidence, because I'm angry. I'm always cussing somebody out. I want, you know, I'm mad at the world. I'm murmuring and I'm complaining. Ain't nothing going right. Never grateful. Unappreciative. That's the evidence. And the thing about that is that when you're carrying those kind of burdens, when you're carrying, you know, I was speaking on a teaching about spoiled fruit, and I call that spoiled fruit. When you're carrying spoiled fruit, anybody know when you think of a, let's talk about a plum or let's say a peach. Have you ever seen a peach that's rotten or is beginning to spoil? Guess what? Animals don't run away from spoiled food, only humans. So animals devour the birds and animals. They devour that rotten fruit. They devour it. So same thing with us. We got rotten fruit. There's going to be certain pestilence that's going to come and devour it. They're going to come and devour that rotten fruit. What does that look like, Coach D? That looks like when I'm walking around with rotten fruit, some of that, the enemy, we're actually opening up ourselves to be attacked. We're opening up ourselves to be attacked by the enemy and whatever devices he chooses what? He could choose other people. Haven't you ever been in a season or you seen certain people that they don't get along with nobody? Nobody like to even see them coming because when they get ready to come, everybody be like, ooh, here she come. Ooh, here he come. I don't want to even be bothered. So it's the, you know, it's the disobedience of not going to your corner. Ephesians 6 and 10 tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So it tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. See why you have to go to your corner? Because if you don't go to your corner and take time with the corner man, you won't even know. You won't even know that you have a full armor of God. You need to find out what that armor is, but you ain't going to find it out if you're not taking time to go to your corner. You wouldn't even know that according to Philippians 1 and 6, that it says to us, and I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in me, he who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. See, you won't know that the work that he's begun in you, that he's going to bring it to completion. See, we need to know that kind of stuff. Why? Because it gives us fuel. It gives us the ammunition. It gives us the energy. It gives us the techniques that we need so that when we get in that ring, we can hang. How many of y'all could go 12 rounds in this world? How many of you could go 12 rounds? Or after round one, you knocked out. You laid out, down for the 10th count. We got to be able to go the round because, believe it, you're going to be constantly in the ring. It's called the ring of life. There's always be something. There's always going to be it's going to always be something. There's going to always be a time where you ain't making enough money. There's going to always be a time where you're going to be trying to figure out how you can pay a bill. There's always going to be a time where you're going to be, you're going to lose a loved one. It's always going to be. It don't stop. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be a fight. And do we just lay down and die? Or do we use our technique? Our technique is the word of God. Our technique is being able to speak the word of God back to God. God, you said for me to be strong. God, you said for me to put on the whole armor of God. God, you said that the work that you've begun in me, you're going to complete. God, you said in Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. See, it's going to be that. That's our technique. Our technique is in the Word. It's telling us what we could do. It's telling us that we're more than conquerors. It's telling us that we could do all things. It's telling us that he won't leave us nor forsake us. He's telling us in the technique, but you can't find out the technique unless you go to your corner. If you just constantly out there fighting and you're not taking time to breathe, you're not taking time to rest, you're not taking time to replenish, then you wonder why you all, your teeth knocked out, you got black eyes, your nose is bleeding, and you just tore up, and you wondering why. God, how could this happen to me? God, I don't know why you did this to me. No, he didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself because you didn't come to the corner. You didn't come to get instructions. When he told you to exercise, you didn't exercise. When he told you to drink a lot of water, you didn't want to drink a lot of water. When he told you to put aside the beard, you didn't want to put aside the beard. When he told you not to eat the pizza, you didn't want to stop eating the pizza. You didn't want to discipline. Discipline is delaying one's self-gratification. But we want to be gratified. We want to be gratified. When he told you to stop fornicating, you didn't want to stop fornicating. Why? Because you want to please the flesh. When he told you to stop cussing, you don't want to stop cussing. You say, oh, ain't nothing wrong with cussing. God don't have nothing. But he says what comes out is what comes out. It ain't what we put into us that devours us. It's what comes out of us. What's in the inside? When's the last time you've been to your corner? When is the last time you've been to your corner? When is the last time you've been still long enough to get instruction, to get technique, to be, for God, you know, God heals the wound. Some of us is walking around totally broken. Some of us is walking around with so many holes, we can't even contain our blessings. That God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour into us, but when we're walking around with a bunch of holes in us, anything he pours into us is just gonna pour out. We can't even be a blessing to others. You know, we hear these words. We hear these words, and they sound like, ooh, you know, mighty words, a big word. They, you know, we always want to make things deeper. We always want to make things deeper. We always want to get super-duper religious, and we want to make things deep. Righteous. You know, when you hear righteous, I don't know about you. I remember when I was young, I hear the word righteous. That was a big word. I was like, woo, that's something. And righteous is just right choices. You know, making right choices. Holiness. Being whole. The woman, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, he didn't just heal her. She wasn't just healed. He didn't just stop the flow of the blood, but he made her whole. See, whole goes far beyond healing. Whole, when you whole, that's not just the healing, but it incorporates everything that comes with it. It gets down to the root cause. It pulls that thing out from the root. It don't just put a Band-Aid on it. It don't just put some Campylobacter on it. It don't just pour some peroxide on it. But it pulls it out at the root. You become whole. Whole. Peace of mind. Your joy is full. Your strength is renewed. You've forgiven yourself and you've forgiven others. A lot of times people have a problem forgiving others because they haven't even forgiven themselves. God is telling you on tonight, go to your corner. He done rung the bell a lot of times, and you keep ignoring the bell. In the natural, have you ever seen a fight? And I've seen a couple. Have you ever seen a fight? Each round, that bell rings, and that bell is an indication. Stop and go to your corner. And what happens when the man still continues to throw punches after the bell rings? They get penalized, right? They could risk losing the fight because they didn't follow the instructions. Many of you are losing fights in life because you're not following the instructions. You're not committing to the bell. God is ringing the bell, and he's telling you, go to your corner. Go to your corner. In the corner, it's a time for you to sit and be still. It's a time for you to not speak. It's a time for you to just listen. Most fighters can't even talk when they're in the corner no way. Why? Because they're so exhausted from the last round. They're so exhausted from the last round. The last thing they want to do is talk. They're trying to get their energy. They're trying to get their oxygen. They don't want to use that on talking. So what they do, they sit and listen. And the corner man is telling them, okay, next time you need to jab this way. Hey, you need to protect. You know what? You jab. What is it? Jab and move. Jab and move. He's telling them, okay, you know, you plan. You need to strengthen. You need to do this. Okay, don't go, you know, don't just run in. You're giving them instructions. He said, don't get caught up. Avoid that person. No, don't do this. You need to watch your budget. No, don't. This is not the time to go buy a new car. Nope, this is not the time to get in a relationship with her. Nope, he's telling you. He's giving instructions. These instructions can only be gotten in the corner. The time where you're being quiet, where you're being still, where you're taking those deep breaths in. And you're letting them off slowly. You're getting your oxygen. You're filling your body back up. You're building back up your faith. Yes, I just got out of a round. It was rough. But I'm building back up my faith. Lord, I'm building back up my trust. You know, because when you're in a round and you're not getting the points, you know, rounds are point-based unless there's a knockout. But on point-based, and you was in that round and you wasn't getting no points. The component was getting all the points. So you know that the component was getting all the points. You're going to go back to your corner. You're going to be you tired. You need to reflect. You need to be still. You need to catch your breath. You need to deal with the pain that's been just dished to you. Think about it. I want you to visualize this. I want you to really visualize yourself in a ring and you're boxing. And just imagine this opponent in front of you is life, health, finances, emotion, mental, physical, all these things that we deal with, that we got to fight with. And you're dealing with this. And just think, these things are throwing you punches, and you're trying to duck and dodge, you know. You bobbing and weaving. You're trying to, you know, there go another blow. And you're trying to miss it. Now just think, if you kept doing that with no rest, no replenish, you think that you'll be strong enough to make it through 12 rounds? Absolutely not. That's why you got to go. He giving you a time to break. Go to your corner. Get the instruction. Catch your breath. Do the things you need to do so that when you get back out there to the next round, you can do better. You can implement some of those techniques. Maybe this time you could send the opponent, send them back out of breath. Send them back pissed off because they couldn't pull one over on you. send them back tired. Woo, I'm tired of fighting with Coach D. Man, I tried to throw everything at her. All she could throw at me was the word. All she kept dealing with me is kind of the positive attitude. Man, I don't know. I couldn't even get her caught up. She seen it. She seen that right coming before it came, and she was able to maneuver around it. Send the opponent back. Send the devil back mad. You know, the devil told God with Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? See, God knew that Job had been spending time in the corner. God knew that Job would take instructions, that Job, even though everything that life was throwing him, all the punches, but God knew Job. He knew he was one of his star athletes, one of his star boxers. He knew Job. He knew that Job was going to get in that ring, and he knew that Job was going to rest when he needed to rest. He knew that Job was going to use the technique. He knew that. What is God saying? What is God saying about you? What is God saying about me? Is he telling the enemy, have you considered my servant? Or is he saying, nah, I'm going to keep my head protection around her because she ain't ready. Ooh, Jesus, she ain't ready. So I'm going to keep a head up. Nah, enemy, you can't mess with her. Right now, she might only be able to do two rounds. Or he might only be able to do one round. What is God saying about us? Are we able to withstand? Are we able to go in, do what we need to do, and then get to our corner? To be replenished, to be rejuvenated, to reflect. Are we able to go back to our corner and hear what thus said the Lord? What is God saying? Is he saying, you know, what is he saying to us? Sometimes, you know what? That's a fight you don't want to take on this fight. You're not ready. See, because a good coach, he knows his boxer, and he knows if his boxer is in shape. He knows if his boxer is totally out of shape and don't have no business fighting. Not this fight. We'll catch you the next time, but we can't fight this fight. We're going to have to wait a season. We still got work to do. Some of us are jumping in the ring prematurely. Life is going to throw us with some stuff. But some of us is getting our own selves in situations prematurely that we shouldn't have never got in. You know, this is when we talk about legitimate and illegitimate suffering. Some of us have gotten ourselves into some stuff that we didn't even have to get into, and we wasn't even prepared. We was not in shape to get into that battle. But because we didn't spend enough time with the corner man. Because the corner man is the corner man, but guess what? When you're not in the battle, the corner man is your coach. He's telling you what you need and what you don't need to do. Amen? Father, we want to just thank you on tonight. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly you are worthy, Lord Jesus. Father God, everyone who has opted to listen in on tonight, I just pray right now, Lord, that you will give them the techniques, that you will give them the coaching that they need to withstand this thing called life. Father God, that they will be able to go each round in excellence, and that they will know to go to their corner. Father, that you will replenish them, that you will rejuvenate them. Father, that they will find rest in the corner. Lord, that they will find instruction in the corner. Lord, that you will renew their faith, that they will fight the good fight of faith. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you bring us practical principles unto perception based on your word. Lord, that there's no more vows and arts. Father God, that you want your children to get a clear perception of what you're telling us, Father. Father God, when you speak your word, you want us to see. You want us to envision and see what it is that you're saying. Father God, for even you know that we could do what we could see. So, Father, we just say thank you for giving us the rhema word. Thank you for preparing us, Father God. Thank you for giving us the techniques that we need to fight a good fight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to take a little time on tonight. We got a few minutes, and I just want to take some time to just give an opportunity to be able to open up the floor. If you're listening in on tonight and you have a comment or a question, maybe you have something that you want to share. Maybe this message really spoke to you in a way, and you're willing to share what that message spoke to you about. I'm going to go ahead and just take a couple of minutes. I'm not going to take a long time waiting for people to decide if they want to say something, if they don't want to say something. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to, if you have something that you would like to share, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's message. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have something that you would like to share. Again, I'm just going to take a couple of moments for this. If there's nobody that want to share anything, that's great. I'm just going to give it, like I said, a couple of minutes while we're waiting to see if someone has something to share. I want to share with you that we're back on track. We will be getting back to our second and fourth Thursdays, where we will be bringing in special guests. We have some guests that's coming up for the second and fourth Thursday for this month. If you know of someone who has a message or has a testimony they would like to share, this second and fourth Thursdays are the time. We have testimony Thursdays. And so again, if you know somebody or you yourself is interested, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. That's mcdnetwork, NETWORK INC@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this night of Processing the Pain. And stay tuned. Next week, I believe we're going to have a great treat for you, a great blessing. So we look forward to you being with us on next week, same time, same place. Know that you are loved and appreciated.